I checked a urinalysis on every single patient. And again, this is a big take-home message. Before you start an antipsychotic drug, or for that matter, any type of medication, for an acute change in status of the person with dementia, you must check for a urinary tract infection. So this is not like something that happens every once in a while. This is something that happens very frequently. The two most important things are... Welcome, everyone, to the Dementia Doc Podcast. I am Dr. Miguel Rivera, and I am joined today by my wife, Ganga. And we are going to be talking about a really important subject, urinary tract infections.
Miguel, you are a psychiatrist, and I would think that most people do not go to psychiatrists when they think of a urinary tract infections. So why are we discussing this topic with you?
I think this is a really important topic for any doctor that deals with the elderly, because urinary tract infections can have profound implications in the elderly, particularly in those who have dementia. For example, urinary tract infections in the elderly can present with changes in agitation, becoming more confused and disoriented, developing visual hallucinations, even becoming paranoid. So this is a really important item that should be in the awareness of any doctor that deals with patients with dementia.
So when you're called to see patients with dementia, how often is urinary tract infection is the reason for whatever you're called for? I assume you're called to see a patient when they may be super agitated or they're in delirium. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
I would say that in my practice, most of my consults come for agitation. The number two is what you mentioned, which is delirium. And delirium is another name for an acute change in mental status. And to simplify that, just a sudden change in their baseline. And whenever I see a new patient, I checked a urinalysis on every single patient. And I would say that maybe in about 50 to 60% of my patients that present with either those acute changes or with agitation, about 50% have a urinary tract infection.
If the person is delirious, is that the correct way to call it? And then the psychiatrist is called, and some of them can prescribe antipsychotic medication just to treat delirium, while the reason for delirium could be the infection.
Yes, and that is unfortunately not an unusual thing to happen, because as part of delirium, the person may be, for example, having visual hallucinations, or they may think that people are trying to hurt them, or that people may be trying to poison them. And the medications that are generally used to treat those symptoms are antipsychotic drugs. However, and again, this is a big take-home message. Before you start an antipsychotic drug, or for that matter, any type of medication, for an acute change in status of the person with dementia, you must check for a urinary tract infection. It is that prevalent and it is that important, because many times you treat the urinary tract infection and those symptoms disappear as quickly as they can.
What happens if urinary tract infection goes unnoticed and the person is not treated for it?
Okay, so main issue with that is that if urinary tract infection goes unchecked, it may progress and it may eventually get into the person's bloodstream, and it may cause what is referred to as sepsis. And this is like a real emergency where the people usually need to be sent out to the hospital and put on IV antibiotics. It is important to have that awareness that these infections can progress to the kidneys or to the blood if left unchecked. So that's a really important point.
And would antipsychotic medications have any counteractions or side effects that also can complicate things?
So independent of the urinary tract infection, antipsychotic drugs are tricky medications. And we know we do use them. So they definitely do have a place. But they should not be the knee-jerk reaction to a problem arises. Because all antipsychotic drugs have a black box warning from the FDA that says that these medications can reduce the lifespan of the person. These medications can increase the risk of strokes, heart attacks, swallowing difficulties leading to aspiration pneumonia. So these medications are tricky. And I do the best that I can in my practice to try to minimize the use of these medications. And if I have to use them, to use as small a dose as possible. Again, I think that this is where this awareness of the possibility that the person may have a urinary tract infection is so important before the physician or the nurse practitioner would consider starting an antipsychotic.
I would think that this is one of the reasons that people love you so much in the community, because you generally aim to better the life quality of people with dementia and not just put another antipsychotic if they're agitated. But that's a whole different topic. If we return back to urinary tract infections, what do you think makes it so hard to detect them in elderly?
Good question. First of all, urinary tract infections, whether it's in a younger person or in an elderly person with dementia, may not show up with clear symptoms. A younger person may have a urinary tract infection and not even know about it. There are some that will have some of the more classic symptoms, which would be painful urination, frequency, urgency, as an indicator that something is not right. But an elderly person may have a urinary tract infection and have none of those symptoms, and actually the presenting symptom may be this change in their baseline, the onset of agitation, or for example, like thinking about my mom, like I know she has a urinary tract infection when she begins to sleep all the time. Changes in the circadian rhythm, agitation, issues with, like I mentioned, with visual hallucinations and paranoia, like thinking people are trying to kill them or poison them. So it is so important to have the understanding that if the person is experiencing a sudden change, that this may be a urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm.
So when people are younger, the urinary tract infection does not affect them to the extent that it affects elderly? What is the difference?
Particularly in an elderly person that has cognitive problems or has developed dementia, like in my population, in particular where people are more in the moderate to severe stages of the disease. So the brain is already taxed. Let's say the brain has already begun to malfunction. So an infection that in a younger person may not have any effects whatsoever can have these profound effects in the elderly just because the brain is just not working as well. The brain reserve has already been tapped out. Most important to know that, yes, there can be a dramatic difference in how a young person deals with a urinary tract infection versus an elderly person with dementia.
Do you have an example? Do you have a story of a patient that maybe you saw a dramatic change from, I don't know, whatever you were called for, there was a urinary tract infection that was addressed, and then the person was back to their baseline?
Oh, so many stories. So many stories. The first one that comes to mind is I got called in to see a lady at a skilled nursing facility. And when I showed up to the facility, the nursing staff told me she's been so much more agitated. She's up all night, sleeps during the day. She's fallen multiple times because she's having visual hallucinations, and she's trying to pick out things from the floor. And as she leans forward, she falls, and she had two black eyes, agitated, paranoid, not sleeping, days and nights mixed up. Like with all my patients before prescribing a medication, I ordered a urinalysis. The urinalysis came back positive that she had a urinary tract infection. We treated that, and within 3 or 4 days, she was back to her old self, back to sleeping at night. The visual hallucinations resolved, the agitation resolved, and no more falls. And I got so many examples similar to that. So this is not like something that happens every once in a while. This is something that happens very frequently.
And you also mentioned your mom, that your mom sometimes just sleeps more. And you, being the psychiatrist mm-hmm. who works with the elderly, to you, it's immediately a sign, oh, let's check her urine, which I think a lot of people wouldn't even think of.
Yes. And I remember the first time that it happened, I was visiting them, and it was on a Saturday. And my mom is like asleep in the middle of the day. And I'm like, Mom, you're never sleeping. What's up? Oh, I'm tired. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go to urgent care right now. So I got her in my car. We went to urgent care, and they obtained a urinalysis. In 2 days, we got the culture back, and sure enough, she had a urinary tract infection. We treated that, and back to having full energy, not sleeping during the day. And that is just a mild symptom, right, that she was just sleeping more. But as I mentioned, the symptoms can get quite dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. What can we do? Maybe first of all, to define what can we do, what are the reasons for urinary tract infection?
So in the elderly, there can be many. Elderly people with dementia have urinary incontinence. And so what that means is that little muscular ring called the urinary sphincter that keeps the urine in the bladder is not really working well. So the urine begins to leak out from the bladder. And what that means is that then bacteria from the anal area can then track in through that area that is no longer closing appropriately. So that is one of them. Another one would be, for example, that a person with dementia may have lost the awareness that it is important to wipe front to back. And many times the patients begin to wipe back to front, effectively bringing all those bacteria from the rectal region into the urinary sphincter area. Those are two pretty common ones. And of course, there's other ones as well, like dehydration, poor hygiene, etc.
I would think in people with dementia, hygiene can be a real issue.
Personal hygiene, I think, is the most challenging activity of daily living in someone with dementia. I've had patients that haven't showered in a year, literally in a year. There is no chance at all of getting him in the shower. When you ask him, come on, let's take a shower, they'd be like, why? I took one yesterday, or I took one this morning. I don't need to shower.
No.
So it happens so, so frequently. And of course, there are things that we can try to do to help with that, play a little bit of music, keep the bathroom warm, etc. But that's probably the topic for another podcast.
Yes, I think that's a whole topic for another podcast. Returning to the urinary tract infections. So what can we do?
Okay, so the two most important things are keeping the person well hydrated. If we are not drinking enough, then there is not enough fluid in the bladder to trigger the response that, okay, I have to urinate. And that urine that sits in the bladder can be the breeding ground for bacteria. Mm-hmm. It's important to hydrate so that we keep flushing that system, so that we keep moving that fluid as it goes into the bladder and get it right out of the system. So that's one of the big important ones. The other point is personal hygiene. And this can be a challenge, like I mentioned. So making sure that the person is wiping front to back instead of back to front. to see if you can in any way at least get to clean their private parts would be useful. And if that is a problem, many of my patients have benefited from using wipes, both after they go to the bathroom to have a bowel movement and also when they finish urinating to go ahead and clean that area can also be helpful.
Hydration and hygiene, anything else?
Yes, if the person can still follow commands. And again, this can be an issue if the person already has moderate to severe dementia and is unable to follow instructions. But if they can, then to do what are called bladder training and pelvic floor exercises is something that can really help. And medications for the bladder to help with bladder incontinence can have also profoundly deleterious effects in the cognition and behavior of people who have dementia. So these pelvic floor exercises, particularly if the person is able to follow that and benefit from that, is one of the things that I think are really high yield. For example, I just contacted my mom's doctor in Atlanta, and I asked her if she would please order bladder training and pelvic floor exercises for my mom, because she's beginning to have issues with incontinence, and I do not want her to be taking these medications that can make things worse.
And I want to say that I think it's also a note for anyone who is younger to not wait and start pelvic floor exercises, because they're very beneficial for many reasons. And especially as we age, the muscles lose their tone, so then incontinence could be the thing. But also they have many other benefits, and you can search online and read about them. So I think both for men and women, if you're younger, don't wait, start those exercises.
Absolutely. Because most of the medications for incontinence block the action of a really important neurochemical, both in the bladder, but also in the brain. And we actually have a couple of videos on that, like one on brain fog. And also I have a lecture that I gave at the Massachusetts General Hospital that was called Medicine Cabinet Mayhem. And they talk in particular about these medications that can cause problems.
So what about the supplements? Are there any supplements that people can take, or do you prescribe any supplements to patients?
I do. And so I prescribe products that have cranberry extract and also something called D-mannose. There is really good data about the use of cranberries, but the problem is that most people buy the regular cranberry juice, and that is really high in sugar. So the recommendations are to actually buy the unsweetened juice, which is super like sour or bitter, whichever one it is. Just, it's powerful. So what I prescribe in my patients are products that include both, that have cranberry extract and also the D-mannose, and they can be beneficial for sure. I also prescribe vitamin C, because vitamin C acidifies the urine, makes it more acid, and bacteria don't like that environment. So those two are things that are worthwhile purchasing, that you can get them at the store or online, and they can make a big difference in preventing UTIs. Because there are some people that will get them recurrently, like every single month they'll have a urinary tract infection, and they're going through all these changes in status and agitation and hallucinations. And when I have a patient that gets two or three urinary tract infections in a row, I definitely prescribe these over-the-counter supplements.
The supplements would come handy if the person has recurring infections. But in case of infection, what do people do?
Well, if you have an infection, most likely, and particularly depending on the bug or the bacteria present. But most of the time, we treat them with antibiotics. And if you take an antibiotic, it would be a good idea to also use probiotics. And actually, there is some evidence that the use of probiotics can also help to decrease the incidence or the frequency of getting a urinary tract infection.
So in this case, probiotics would come as a supplement. If a person gets urinary tract infections quite often, you would recommend to take D-mannose, cranberry extract, and maybe probiotics and vitamin C.
Yes, correct. But also, if you're going to take an antibiotic, I would also recommend to take the smallest dose possible. There is data that most community-acquired urinary tract infections that are uncomplicated can be treated with a single dose of the antibiotic. So unless it's an overwhelming infection with organisms that are virulent and problematic that you may want to take for a longer period of time, I advocate for a smaller dose and a shorter course of antibiotics, and then to follow the antibiotics with about a month or 6 weeks at the least of probiotics. And you don't need to just take probiotics as a supplement. You can take kimchi or sauerkraut, different fermented things. Also, beans can provide some of the prebiotics where the probiotics can flourish. So those things are all beneficial.
Sounds like a good place to end our podcast today, unless you feel there is something else we have not mentioned.
No, I think that we've covered the bases. I think that the most important thing is to have the awareness that if there is an acute change in how the person with dementia is doing, then to check a urinary tract infection is high yield. And that some of the things that we can do to prevent them in particular are to stay hydrated, to do what we can to improve our hygiene, and to maybe try some of the supplements that we mentioned.
And thank you everyone for listening. And if you have any questions or topics that you would like us to discuss, please put them in the comments below.